It's HBR1, and I'm Dave Lawrence. This weekend, Hawaii getting a return visit from a legendary entertainer, just like the song says. Sadaka's back, Neil Sadaka, playing the Blaisdell Concert Hall Saturday night. Yvonne Elliman opening the show, and thrilled to welcome Neil to All Things Considered. Hey, Neil, aloha.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Terrific.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much for being willing to do this.
Thank you. My pleasure.
And I was studying your life, looking back at some of the ingredients, if you will. And you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but there were sacrifices it looked like your mom made. Other ways, she really nurtured your career.
Well, I had a very happy childhood. My mother and father were very loving people, and they encouraged me. At first, I wanted to be a concert pianist, and they expected me to be a concert pianist. But they were very supportive when I started writing the pop music and recording my own songs.
And would you say being supportive also them getting you involved with that Juilliard School of Music Saturday program for kids?
I won a competition. I'm glad you brought it up. I won a piano competition. I was about 16, and it was the radio station WQXR in New York, which had something called Musical Talent in New York High Schools. And Arthur Rubinstein, the great pianist, chose me as the best pianist in the New York City high school system. And I played the third piano sonata of Prokofiev. I played the G minor ballade of Chopin and Reflet dans l'eau of Debussy.
And the thing folks have to remember about you, you were in like your second grade choral class, I've read, and you made such an impression on a teacher that they suggested in a note to your mom that you begin piano lessons. I mean, I can't even remember second grade, but at that point, you somehow were giving off a sign, yeah?
Yes, Dave. There was a choral teacher, and she was conducting the whole auditorium in some song, and she saw my reaction to the music and got me up to conduct the auditorium. I was about 8 years old, and she sent me home with a note for my parents to buy a piano, and my father was a taxi driver. It was out of the budget, so my mom took a job as a saleswoman in a department store in New York. She raised $500 for a secondhand upright piano.
Hence the reason I started by giving your mom credit, because I think it's awesome.
Thank you. Yes, she was a great lady.
I'm wondering, was it your songwriting at the Brill Building that introduced you to Carole King in high school, or is it just coincidence that you'd be dating another Brill Building songwriter so young in life?
Carole and I dated in school. She was at a neighboring high school, and Howard Greenfield and I were the first to sign to Alden Music at the Brill Building, and I brought Carole King up to the publishing firm, and of course they signed her immediately.
And then off she went, really, huh? You could watch that the rest of your life.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, her tapestry inspired me to do the album Sadaka's Back. And she will be the first to say James Taylor inspired her to write Tapestry. So you see, creative people bounce off each other.
It's a great way you describe it. Was it like being a teen idol? I mean, that was almost the first wave of such a thing, huh, in the late 50s, early 60s?
It was a thrill of a lifetime. It was an American dream. I used to watch American Bandstand, Dick Clark's show, where they had kids dancing from Philadelphia, and I used to run home from school to watch it. And lo and behold, I was on in 1958 with a hit record called The Diary. So it was an unbelievable experience. Being a teenage idol in the beginning of rock and roll, it was Elvis, Roy Orbison, Buddy Holly, Fats Domino. It was a great time in music.
Did you get to meet those cats?
I sure did. As a matter of fact, Elvis invited my wife and I when he was performing in Vegas a few years before he left us, and he recorded my song Solitaire on the Memphis album. And I went backstage, and he said, you know, in Germany, when I was in the Army, I always played your records on the jukebox because I admired a high tenor voice. Being a baritone, he admired the high tenor voice.
Wow, what a cool. Is that the only time you got to be with the king?
It was the only time, and he gave my wife a scarf, which he has to this day. He said, you know, I'm going to give you the scarf because it matches your dress. But, you know, I have a record of him recording Solitaire, and it's an outtake, and he says on it, I'm going to kill Neil Sedaka for these high notes.
That's got to be really precious to you. And, you know, it's funny, we're talking about the intricacies of songs when you mention that. Interesting approach that you took from what I've read in the beginning, buying the top three biggest songs in order to study them, to get the secrets of their structure.
Well, being a studied musician, RCA was dropping me. After the Diary, I had two flops, so this was my last shot. And I wrote a song called O'Carroll, which, thank goodness, sold about 3.5 million copies around the world. I analyzed the number one records all over the world. Billboard has a page called Hits of the World, and I bought the number one record in about 12 different countries, and I put together the harmonic rhythm, the lyrical structure, the harmonic structure, the melodic structure, and I put them all in a pot and mixed them up and wrote O'Carroll.
You mentioned something else in there, Neil, about your international, and about Elvis, too, and his appreciation of you when he was abroad. Some of your earliest work charted in Italy and inspired some actual Italian language songs, plus Spanish, German, Hebrew, Japanese, French, Canadian. Can you talk about the process of laying down music in another language?
Well, thank you for that, Dave, for remembering. Not many people know that I sang in all those languages. Having a musical ear, it was easier for me. Japanese was the easiest. German was the most difficult. But, you know, I did have my own songs translated into Italian, and then I had Italian writers write for me. So in 1963-64, I sold about 3 million records in Italy, in the Italian language. And I used to get out on the stage and say, "Scusate se non parlo bene italiano, sono molto contento di cantare le mie canzoni per voi." That's all I could say. Thank you for coming, and I hope you enjoy my songs. Now, I used to get off the plane in Rome, and the paparazzi would start talking to me in Italian, thinking that I was fluent, but I was not.
That is such good stuff. Not a lot of artists really can do that too. I mean, and have taken the time to do that. And when I, a couple more things before I let you go, because I know your time is really tight.
That's okay.
Your connection to the Rocket Record Company and Elton John, in so many ways, it looks like that was critical in re-bringing you to the surface, if you will, here in the States.
Absolutely. It was a tremendous comeback. I was off the charts for 13 years. I figured if the Beatles came to New York, I would go to England, because they really respected the original American rock and rollers. Mm. So I got to meet Elton John, who was starting Rocket Records, and he was a big fan. He signed me to the label, and I recorded a song called Laughter in the Rain and an album called Sadak is Back. And lo and behold, Laughter went to number one. After a 13-year absence from the chart, I think only me and Tina Turner had a remarkable comeback like that.
And that's a great song to sort of leave it on. That's one of these songs that it was right when I was about 5-6 years old, so it's a very nostalgic song. And, you know, sometimes it's a very emotional song to hear.
Well, thank you. You know, that's where I write, from the heart, from the emotion. And when I hear Laughter in the Rain, you know, I almost weep, because it's so romantic, the fact of two people getting caught in a rainstorm with no umbrella, and the tune with Phil Cody's magnificent lyric, it just takes you to another place.
It does, a positive place.
Thank you. I get so many emails all over the world from people who are down, either physically or emotionally, and they say that listening to my old records brings them up. Music is very therapeutic.
It certainly is, and that's one of the values of having you come back. Really enjoyed talking to you. I hope this was okay. It was a lot of fun.
It was great, Dave. Very, very professional, very smooth.
Thank you for that. And thanks for sharing all those great stories with us, Neil. Wonderful to have you on.
Thank you, Dave. My pleasure. Be well.
You too. Aloha.
Aloha. Hi, this is Neil Sedaka. Aloha. And you're listening to my good friend, Dave Lawrence, on member-supported Hawaii Public Radio.
To rain, it begins to pour.